today at Punchestown. But this one, on a matter of handicapping, the city's...
Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Welcome to Racing Across America on this Sunday morning. I'm Seth Merrow. This Sunday holiday weekend morning, Memorial Day weekend. And don't forget, there's nice racing tomorrow here at the Clubhouse Racebook. We have a couple of promotions. The match bet promotion and across the board promotion, I believe, tomorrow here at the Racebook. So if you want to come down and watch, New York will be in action, some of the other major venues in action as well. So again, a nice day of racing, and you can enjoy it here. Yeah, play the board and match bet promotion here at the Racebook tomorrow. 7-Eleven Central Avenue in Albany. But nice racing today as well, as there has been all weekend long and will continue to be. I mentioned yesterday that big day at Penn National, the annual big day with the Penn Mile, comes up at the end of the week on Friday. The cards have been drawn. You can take a look if you would like at the Penn National card coming up at the end of the week. So nice kickoff into summer, as it were, with Memorial Day weekend. And we'll recap some of yesterday's action and preview some of the action coming up. Towards the bottom of the hour, we will be joined by John White from Santa Anita, morning line odds maker out there and a longtime participant in Southern California racing. He'll give us some thoughts, maybe a couple today, but three grade ones tomorrow out at Santa Anita. So we'll get some of John's thoughts on those as well. I do want to hit on some sad news. As I came in this morning, pulled up some news from across the pond, particularly for people who have been around the game as long as I have. This is notable. Lester Piggott has passed away at age 86. And if you remember Lester Piggott, I'm just looking at an article from a newspaper over in the UK. Nine derbies, Epsom derbies, and 30 classics during his career. He also won the Breeders' Cup in 1990 on Royal Academy, coming out of retirement, been out of retirement a month or so, comes over and wins a Breeders' Cup race on Royal Academy. Again, that was 1990, and I was kind of, as I was pulled up this information, I was looking around and whatnot. Our friend Steve Bick on his Twitter page has a link to the race. You can go to YouTube, I'm sure, and type it in, but he has it there, and then an interview with Piggott as well. So if you're, again, if you aren't from my era, but you would like to learn a little more about a guy who had, you know, made an indelible mark on the game, over there and over here, as I say, I'm a racing fan, more on the American side of things, but if you're from my era, you knew who Lester Piggott was. But again, you can pull up some of his things, including that Royal Academy Breeders' Cup win, over on YouTube, an interview as well. As I say, Bick had linked to both of those, but I'm sure you can find plenty of info on Lester Piggott. There's a nice Wikipedia page that kind of lists his career and whatnot. Some sad news with Lester Piggott having passed away at age 86. All right, let's jump in and take a look at some of the action from yesterday. And we'll take a look first at Belmont Park. Their feature yesterday was the Soaring Softly. It was a grade three event, $100,000, seven furlongs on the grass. I like Dairy Name, who went off as, 6-5 favorite. Coming out of a seasonal debut that was pretty good down at Keeneland, and looked to be live in here, but Derrynane winds up fifth in the field of nine. A little bit disappointing there. But right under Derrynane, I had Charty Party. And Charty Party is the number 12 horse. You can see on the outside there in those lime green saddle cloth, 12 number color, and kind of plugging along here, plugging along. Wonka's coming up on the outside, but just will not continue on and wind up fourth. The number two, Breeze Easy, gets second, and number 10, Sail By, runs third. As I said, I had Derrynane on top, as did the betting public. Betting public also put Charty Party in the second slot, as I did. But more notable, if you didn't look at the race yesterday, Charty Party went out for Wesley Ward and was clearly the least experienced horse in the field with only the one start. But the one start was a maiden breaker at Keeneland with a pretty good number coming from out of the clouds to get it done late under Irod Ortiz. So Wesley Ward at Stone Street. Irod was back on again yesterday, and the horse gets up at 2-1, $6.50 the price. But again, start number two. You got to love the confidence, and clearly they came out of the maiden breaker at Keeneland with some confidence and said, why not? Let's go into a stake and start number two, and successfully made that happen. I have not seen a buyer number yet. We'll see if we can pull something up as the show goes along, maybe during the commercial. I'll check. I looked at some of the normal sources. I'll continue to check around to see if there is a buyer. But it was certainly a nice performance. 121 and change for the 7 furlongs, so a little legitimate time for the 3-year-old. And these were all 3-year-old fillies. So 3-year-old filly with only a couple of starts from Wesley Ward and Stone Street. Start number two, a grade three stakes win. And again, being Stone Street and Wesley Ward, you would have to think Saratoga. I'm trying to think what the game plan might be for the horse, but it wouldn't shock me to see this one up our way, because you know, you're thinking 7 furlongs on the turf and Wesley Ward, you know, turf sprinting with the first start being 5.5 furlongs. But you have a 3-year-old like this, lightly raced. I would not be shocked to see them, you know, try a little bit longer and see what they have. And certainly there are opportunities ahead in New York. All right, let's go down to Churchill. Churchill yesterday, a marathon in the feature for them, the Kirtana. It was 1.5 miles on the grass for fillies and mares. There was a lot of talk before the race, you know, yesterday, if you were watching OTB Live, and we had some paddock commentary. They were talking about Temple City Terror, who had won this race last year, had a seasonal debut at Keeneland. Hadn't been seen since Saratoga. Tried the Glens Falls at Saratoga and ran third, and had been off since that August start until the middle of April start at Keeneland, which was okay. Wasn't great. Didn't knock it out of the park. But now as a 6-year-old, was going to try the Kirtana again. And as I say, there was some chatter about that one being the defending champion in the paddock. I like Luck Money. Luck Money went off at 4-1 as the fourth choice. Luck Money, who in that one seasonal debut, the Sheepshead Bay at Belmont, had run second, but a well-beaten second, and so it was a little bit unsure, a little bit unclear what we were going to get in the 5-year-old season from Luck Money, who had races down the page that were clearly good enough, but the comeback was a little bit questionable. Well, Luck Money winds up running fifth, again, at 4-1. The favorite was Disappearing Act, who disappeared and ran last in the field. But it is Temple City Terror, the number 7 horse. You can see makes a nice sustained run here to get up over Stan Tall, who was also taking a little bit of action in the wagering. These two were actually co-second choices at 5-2. But Temple City Terror gets it done by a chart margin of 0.5 length over Stan Tall. And then they're quite a ways in front of chart, 4 lengths in front of La Luna running third. As I say, Luck Money, a little disappointing running fifth in there, given what the horse had done last year. But be interested to see what that one does in the next start, because So far, we've had a couple of starts early in the five-year-old season that didn't live up to. So has this one just gone the wrong way? That kind of is what was indicated yesterday. But not going the wrong way was the six-year-old mare, Temple City Terror, who again repeats in the Kirtana after having won it last year in kind of an abbreviated season. Again, ended the season last year after the start up at Saratoga and had only six starts all told last year. We'll see what we get from Temple City Terror. We'll see if maybe they show up again and try Saratoga again. But this is a horse that clearly likes Churchill Turf. Now four wins and a second in five starts over the Churchill Turf, and clearly likes it regardless of how it is, because the turf course, of course, was redone this past year. So it's a brand new surface, essentially, but she still liked it. She likes the home cooking down there in Louisville. Brendan Walsh getting it done with Temple City Terror. And again, Brendan Walsh been on a little bit of a roll. Been saying it since Florida Derby weekend. A little bit of a roll for Brendan Walsh. Good to see. And Temple City Terror. Adam Biskitza, the Biscuit, on board. And they win the Kirtana. Over at Monmouth, the feature race at Monmouth yesterday was the cliffhanger. Three-year-olds and up going a mile and a 16th on the turf. I liked Analyze It from Chad Brown. That one had a little bit of a bumpy start. I don't know if it was enough to cost the horse the race necessarily. And at 3-1 was the co-second choice. The favorite was Carpenter's Call at 3-1. And as the 3-1 price indicates, it's kind of a wide open race. Carpenter's Call, the 5, was the favorite, winds up 6th. Winning was Kentucky Ghost. A horse I had right underneath, I had Analyzed It on top, Kentucky Ghost 2nd. I was kind of surprised at the 6-1 price. Kentucky Ghost, the number 3, vying with Win From Within at 13-1, the number 1. Eventually pushes by that one, wins by half a length, and in the scrum for 2nd, Analyze It does wind up getting 3rd by a nose. So it was a close finish there up on top, although, as I say, Kentucky Ghost edged away a little bit. And then it was a real battle with three horses right there on the line for 3rd, but Analyze It did wind up getting 3rd. We'll see what Analyze It does. That was only the first start of the season. So, you know, it's kind of a salty spot to jump in and kick off your season, but there are certainly back races that say Analyze It will be interesting to watch going forward, with maybe this one under the belt being Bill Lawrence and Chad Brown. Won't be shocked to see this one up our way potentially, so we'll keep our eyes on that one with a little fitness now under the belt. But as I say, I was surprised by Kentucky Ghost going up. You know, tossed in an absolute clunker in the seasonal debut down at Churchill, but it was the Grade 1 Turf Classic. The races prior to that were good enough. Certainly, you know, you go further down the page, Vicky Oliver, trainee. Again, you kind of, I suppose that last race factored into the price of 6-1, because again, it was an absolute dud in the Turf Classic. But I've always said, you know, you don't want to really hang your hat strongly on one race, really good or really bad. I'm looking for more what they consistently tend to do. Sometimes you can look and kind of make a decision, this one's gone the wrong way, given the circumstances. But this is one of those where you could kind of think, I don't know, that looks like a little bit of an aberration. The most recent workout seemed to indicate that he was back on his toes. And so, again, you walked away with $14 and change for a horse that, to me, looked a little bit logical in there. It is Vicky Oliver, Vargas on board. Taking the $100,000 cliffhanger yesterday at Monmouth Park. I wanted to take a look at one more that we had talked about yesterday, going back to Friday, because this one will be notable going to Saratoga. You know, if the horse stays ready, we will see this one up at Saratoga, according to what was said after the race. Going back to Friday, the Friday opener down at Belmont was a maiden special event for two-year-olds going 5. And when I was in here on Friday for OTB Live, I like the horse, and you know, I looked up and I said, boy, I, you know, 1-5 seems a little bit short, but By Violence, it's Pletcher Rapolian Company. That the horse is taking action seems to indicate, yeah, maybe there's some whispers out there for Forte. It was a, you know, relatively short field of five. And there was three other first-time starters and a second-time starter. Second-time starter, Vaminos, from Mattress Mac, James McInvale, had a fourth-place finish at a fairly short price at Parks in the debut. So the field looked like, man, you know, you could have find any kind in here. But, again, that Forte was taking the action seemed to indicate this may be the one. And you can see in the Rapoli colors on the outside, there is Forte. And he kind of gets set down here. And when he gets going, he gets going. The buyer was, for a two-year-old this time of year, pretty solid 81. The chart margin just under 8 lengths. Forte looking very good in the career debut, again, for Todd Pletcher, Mike Rapoli and company, Irod Ortiz on board. And as I say, this one will play in the Saratoga because subsequently Todd said actually before the race, he said after the race that before the race, they were thinking already, if we get a good performance from the debut, we'll go to the Sanford. And obviously with the performance, he reiterated the thought after the race when he said, you know, he said after the race, even before the race, we were thinking Sanford. So now, given the result, we'll head to the Sanford. So, and hard to believe, but we're only about a month and a half or so away from Saratoga. And we will look for Forte up there to be one of the notable two-year-olds, at least early in the meet. And again, Saratoga to me, particularly with the mid-July start now, seems like one of those transitional periods for two-year-olds. You know, the two-year-olds will start racing kind of in earnest, April-ish, and you get the precocious two-year-olds, you know, Donna Keeneland and the performance like this late May. And so, you know, the Sanford, the Saratoga Special, some of those horses are precocious enough to be a little bit ahead of the class, and they're the ones that can kind of perform in the Sanford and the Saratoga Special. Saratoga Special to some extent, even, and then certainly by the time you get to the Hopeful, I think you start getting the two-year-olds that maybe have a little more lasting power, not always. Some of these precocious runners can hold on, but more often than not, it seems like you get some two-year-olds that just matured a little bit earlier than the rest, and they perform in April and May and June and July, and then you start to get into those summer two-year-olds up at Saratoga, late July and August, and they're the ones that will play out, at least as two-year-olds through the rest of the two-year-old season. As things have worked out, it seems like, you know, Derby Trail and whatnot, even the August kind of two-year-olds now, I mean, you go back to the old days of Affirmed and Aladar, that was one thing. I think it's different now. I think a lot of these even start later. You know, the horses that kind of the cream rising to the top amongst the three-year-olds in the Triple Crown Trail tend to maybe even get later starts than certainly when I first got into the game. As I say, Affirmed and Aladar and two-year-old battles that blossomed into three-year-old battles along the Triple Crown Trail, but a little bit of a different game now. But as I say, actually there's kind of three transition periods. There's that precocious period that'll play out into the Sanford and maybe even the Saratoga Special, and then you'll get into that August period at Saratoga and you start to get the next wave, and then you maybe get down to Belmont and Keeneland Fall, and then you'll get yet another wave maybe. And the two-year-old races in the fall down at Churchill, which I always talk about being very salty. So, but all of that said, Forte looking pretty good. And again, some of these early season two-year-olds do hold on and still they make an impact later on. We'll see what Forte can do. But By Violence, a sire that I like very much as a producer of precocious runners, and he lived up to that yesterday at Belmont, or 2 days ago, Friday at Belmont Park, taking the debut effort in fine fashion. Again, with an 81 buyer, which this time of year for a two-year-old, pretty good. All right, we will take a break. When we come back, we'll do a little handicapping for a Sunday afternoon. Of course, I'll be back in a little bit later on with OTB Live. And shortly after that, we'll be joined by John White. We'll talk a little Santa Anita action on a nice stakes weekend for them out in Southern California. So all of that coming up right after this. Stay tuned.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
Stone is it outside?
What if there was a way to become a better horse player? To have a better knowledge of the game? To be more successful? What if there were a way to take what you've learned, what you know, and make better decisions, better choices? In horse racing, knowledge is a powerful tool. Race results and replays, past performances and live streaming, wagering from all your digital devices. Capital OTB. Become a better horse player.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on a Sunday holiday weekend morning. As said before the break, we'll do a little handicapping and thought maybe take a look at the late pick four action at Belmont a little bit later on. Not a specific ticket, just kind of give some ideas here. And again, it's a little too early for any scratches I haven't seen. I say that, let me just pull up. I saw some scratches earlier and on Twitter as opposed to, you know, where I normally would look, but they were from yesterday. Yeah, again, typically that scratches will pop up at about 11 a.m. So, again, we're just giving you some early ideas here on late pick four action at Belmont today. Should remind you, nice racing, that New York Showcase Day tomorrow in New York, so some nice New York bred stakes races. Unfortunately, they couldn't fill the commentator. I wonder if it's because of the big gun that was going to be in the house. American Revolution was going to make his seasonal debut in the commentator. Be interesting to see where they go now with that one coming out of the Cigar Mile at the end of last year. So Pletcher's going to have to find a new spot to make the seasonal debut with him, as they couldn't get that race to fill. But there are some nice stakes again, on the card amongst the New York breds tomorrow, and Belmont amongst one of many of the major venues running tomorrow on Memorial Day. And again, I'll be on tomorrow with an OTB Live as well, a special holiday edition. But on this Sunday, Belmont Park's sixth race, kicking off late pick four action. It's an optional claimer, non-winners of three. They're going six on the grass. I went 6-1-4-2. West Point Thoroughbreds has Voodoo Zip with Christophe Clement. Tossed in a clunker down at Gulfstream to start the season. The horse is better than that. Went off as the 2-1 favorite that day. Had a little trouble in the race, and I'm going to draw a line through it because, again, I just think the horse is better than we saw down there. I think in the second start and with a clean trip, Joel Rosario on board today. You know, maybe that last race will darken the form a little. I don't think we're going to zip up and find a great price by any means, but maybe that'll help us hold a little bit of value. 5-2 on the morning line, we'll see, because morning line favorite is Maxwell Esquire. Off the claim for Linda Rice, moves out of the Christophe Clement barn, and as opposed to the top pick, this one is coming out of a very nice effort, a winning effort last time, but again, was claimed out of that. and now moves into this optional claimer, non-winners of three, other than down on the rail. And again, not sure, you know, with the move, the barn move, what we're going to get exactly. Linda Rice is certainly good off the claim. But again, you're claimed away from Christophe Clement, so what will we get exactly? I just thought Voodoo Zip may be a little more intriguing over Maxwell Esquire and Rustler, with Luis Saez on board for Dane Kibiski. Hasn't been seen since a win at Belmont in a little stakes race last October. That's going to be the question mark. Comes back from a layoff, therefore. But there are a couple of workouts underneath that are okay. Going back to the May 2nd workout, seems to indicate the horse might be in some decent form. But again, the top two seem a little more intriguing. Mata I have in the fourth spot from Mike Trombetta. Like Rustler, coming off a layoff going back to last October. But like Rustler, I think there are good enough efforts here to point to this horse. And like Rustler, as a workout going back to May 2nd, that's pretty good. So I think either one of those could be live, but it seems like the top two with races under their belt this season are maybe a little more intriguing. In the sixth at Belmont, 6-1, 4-2. Belmont and the seventh race on this Sunday afternoon. I have it 6-4, 7-2. We're looking at plain vanilla claimers going a mile. I put No Burn on top and popular at the, well, I say been popular at the claim box. There was a claim two back, but it was a voided claim. And then the horse took a serious drop. And it's one of those that, you know, there's a voided claim and then a drop. What do you do with that one? But did win last time, claimed out of that for 12.5. And now they moved the horse up back to the level of the start a couple back where there was the voided claim, but that was a win also. So I think there'll be a little bit of value here potentially off the claim, and it's a horse in good form. I'll go No Burn on top. Chris and Dave, morning line favorite, coming in off a nice win last time. Claim two back off the claim, moved up a little bit. One now moves up again, but given what we saw in the last two, I think fits at this level. And then Dark Storm going out for locally based connections, America's Pastime Racing, amongst others, and comes in also in some pretty good form. Also second off the claim, finished behind Chris and Dave last time, but like that one, moves up a little bit off of an effort that I think plugs the horse in and amongst this bunch. 10-1 Musical America. I could make a case for this one, second off the claim and getting a little class relief as compared to last time. If you get a price and you wanted to play around, Musical America to me is certainly playable. And I think you will get a price, and that's what's going to make the horse playable. Probably has to step it up a little bit, but not much. Seventh race at Belmont, 6-4, 7-2. At Belmont in race number 8, we are looking at the feature today, Paradise Creek. That subdivision that I like quite a bit. The three-year-olds on the turf. Now, this one's a three-year-old on the turf sprint, so a little bit different. A subdivision of the subdivision. But I have it 4-2-6-1. Big Invasion. Four starts so far. Three wins and a second. The second was in the career debut. Subsequently has ripped off three wins for Christophe Clement. Joel Rosario was on board last time, winning a nice stakes race Derby weekend down at Churchill. Now, so far has been either 5 or 5.5. The 7's a little bit different, so there is a reason to maybe scratch your chin a little bit and wonder what we'll get today, but it's hard to look at that record and not think this horse isn't absolutely live. But if you are looking at the distance and looking for an alternative, High Front goes out for Augustine, and Jonathan Thomas comes in off of some nice performances to start the career, and yeah, a maiden breaker in the career debut, which I always like, and subsequently third and second. So just seems primed to run well. Maritime Wings goes out for Joe O'Brien, the son of Aiden O'Brien, who is in and of himself having a very nice training career after a pretty nice riding career that he kind of outgrew. But brings this one over from Europe. John Velasquez gets on board. I won't be shocked to to see this horse run well in the United States debut. And Chanceau, who has a pretty good record. A couple of wins, the second and a third in six starts for Pletcher. Tends to go out to the front, and from the rail post position, this one could be interesting with a little burst of speed. Flavien Prat on board. If you're looking at the numbers seem a little bit light, but this is one where I think in the toolbox, you know, I say that buyers are a tool in the toolbox. I think in the toolbox, you can kind of look at this and think, you know what, I'm not sure the numbers are telling the whole story. I think Chanceau will be a player in here and may run better than I've rated him at the bottom of my mix. But in the eighth at Belmont, 4-2-6-1. And finally, race number nine at Belmont this afternoon, $35,000 non-winners of three, going a mile and a 16th on the grass. I have 7-6-4-1. I'll put Dante's Fire on top. Mike Maker, trainee that hasn't been seen since early in the Saratoga meet last year. That's the main concern and a big concern. Had a layoff going into the 2020 season that was kind of comparable, not as long by any means, but it was long and tossed in an okay effort. The subsequent start was very good, so that may indicate a start is going to be needed here. I just thought this horse was live in this field if he comes back at all ready to run. 6-minus in the second spot. Three of the last four starts have been on the synthetic at Gulfstream. Two starts back was on the turf. The turf race was very good. The last race on the synthetic, not so much, but I think class-wise was maybe in against a little bit saltier. 6-minus is very dangerous. Corkman in the third spot off a series of in-the-money finishes that say this horse is in good form and is going to fit as well. Frontman, again, going out for locally based owners, America's Pastime and Company, I think could be a player as well in the second start back with that little bit of fitness under the belt. So the ninth at Belmont, 7-6-4-1. All right, that'll bring us to our next break. And as I mentioned earlier, we will be joined by John White when we come back from Santa Anita. He'll take a look at maybe a little action today and certainly the three grade ones tomorrow at Santa Anita. So we will take this break, come back, and shift our attention to Southern California. Stay tuned. Having trouble finding us? It's actually quite simple. Whether online or on your TV, it's never been easier to watch and wager on championship horse racing with Capital OTB. Simply log on to CapitalOTBBet.com. There you can watch our morning shows, live stream races, and wager on our state-of-the-art wagering platform. You can also watch from the comfort of your home on Spectrum Cable Channel 1250 or Fios Channel 467. And win more with Capital OTB.
Come on.
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Bridgestone is an outside front. They're coming down.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. Apologies, we're having a little trouble with the phone, so I don't think we'll get John White. But as I say, apologies there. I'll hit on some of that Santa Anita action in a moment. But before we do that, the guys in the control room did pull up the 1990 Breeders' Cup race. And again, if you weren't watching earlier, as I say, if you're from my generation, the name Lester Piggott certainly has a lot of meaning. And unfortunately, he passed away at age 86. And again, I had the stats up from a British newspaper article earlier. 9 Epsom Derbies, 30 Classics during his incredible career. And we're going to take a look now at that Breeders' Cup race on Royal Academy. Lester Piggott, who had been in retirement, came out of retirement fairly soon, within a month prior to this. So comes out of retirement and gets a nice win over here in the Breeders' Cup. So here it is, that 1990 Breeders' Cup, Lester Piggott on board Royal Academy.
And formidable group from Europe in here to face America's best. To pay, and they're off in the Breeders' Cup mile. And Shotgun Scott is away quickly. Expensive Decision is right there with him, and those two duel early. Lady Winner with good early speed is angled over quickly to the inside. Go Dutch on the outside, fourth. Steinlin is up close to the early pace. He's now fifth. Mark of Distinction's taken under a hard hold. He was steadied in behind Lady Winner. On the outside, beginning to move up now, that's It's All Greek to Me. He's about 6 lengths off the lead. Mark of Distinction is now pinned down on the inside. Colway Rally with Clear Running moving up. Long Shot Great Normandy is about 9 lengths off the lead. Royal Academy with Clear Running on the far outside. And down inside, Who's to Pay? 9 lengths from the pacemakers. Priolo is second to last. Gelagio trails the field. Expensive Decision and Shotgun Scott. Those two moving together. The quarter went in a sharp 22 and 3/5 seconds as the field enters the far turn. A grueling half mile here of 45 and 4. And it's Expensive Decision now who shakes loose from Shotgun Scott. Go Dutch. It's All Greek to Me is now coming with his sharp rally on the outside. Steinlin has now faded to fifth. On the outside, Mark of Distinction has Clear Running now, and here comes Mark of Distinction with his run for the lead. Lady Winner is in behind a phalanx of horses with nowhere to go. Royal Academy and Lester Piggott are 6 lengths off the lead, but they're launching their rally now as they come down to the final furlong. It's All Greek to Me has a short lead. Expensive Decision battling back. Mark of Distinction. Royal Academy is thundering down the center of the turf course, and Steinlin is fifth. They're coming down to the finish. Lester Piggott flailing away at Royal Academy. It's All Greek to Me toward the inside. Here's the wire. Head bobbing finish. Royal Academy does it. And the living legend out of retirement, 54-year-old Lester Piggott, pulls off the upset here.
Great call there. And yes, the living legend, Lester Piggott, again, passed away at age 86. So it's fitting to take a look at that race, certainly. Again, big weekend at various places with lots of stakes action, and that includes tomorrow. And there are nice stakes today and tomorrow at Santa Anita. Do note, Santa Anita has a mandatory pay in their Rainbow Six tomorrow. 3 grade ones on the card. They are expecting $5 million in the pool. So it's a mandatory pay tomorrow at Santa Anita. And they're expecting $5 million in the pool. So keep that in mind for tomorrow. If you haven't been paying attention out in Southern California and you're thinking, maybe I'll jump in to that. On the human side of things, I pulled up some stats. Juan Hernandez, currently the leading jockey. And it's interesting, Juan Hernandez sitting at number one on the list at 87, second at 72. Flavien Prat, who hasn't been out there for a while. That just shows you how dominant he was while he was there. Because, again, he was riding at Keeneland and now in New York. So he hasn't been there for a few weeks. And he's still sitting second. Tyler Bayes, third. Abel Cedillo, fourth. Sitting sixth, and this is kind of surprising, too. Sitting sixth on the Santa Anita leading jockey list, John Velasquez, who also hasn't been there for a while, rode out there this winter and had a nice winter season out in Southern California. But Mr. Hernandez, the guy to take a look at if you're playing tomorrow. Phil D'Amato, the leading trainer currently. Doug O'Neill, John Sadler, sitting in second and third. So there's the human side of things out at Santa Anita. On the steak side of things, they have some nice steaks today. One of those will be the Triple Bend, the fourth race today at Santa Anita. Triple Bend, nice little sprint steak, couple $100,000 grade two event. The horse to beat is clearly going to be Brickyard Ride. Comes in with a four-race win streak. Won the Kona Gold here at Santa Anita last time at 6.5. This is 7 furlongs. So Brickyard Ride is clearly going to be the one to beat. But I thought Elector was a little bit interesting. And we have a replay of Elector's allowance optional claiming win from April 16th. Elector is going to be the number one horse here. He goes out for our friends at West Point Thoroughbreds. John Sadler trains. If you have your PPs, you can see he was cross-entered at Lone Star, but I checked in, and the West Point folks said, nope, Elector's going to go here at Santa Anita. So being lightly raced, only 3 starts. The debut effort was a little bit disappointing, but followed that up with a couple of wins. Maiden Breaker and that optional claiming win we just saw right there. I think the horse is interesting. Very interesting. Again, it's going to go through a Brickyard Ride, but Elector could be a player in here with the 2-race win streak and kind of on the up and come, as it were. So there's your Triple Bend, the 4th race. Also on today's card is the Honeymoon, race number 7 today, grade 3 event, mile and an eighth on the grass. Another one with a big favorite, Cairo Memories, is going to be the standout here. Mike Smith was on board this horse last time in the Providencia, where the horse got back to the turf and won pretty nicely. 2 for 2 over the Santa Anita turf so far. Short price, but that one looks like the one to beat in there. Island of Love coming off a win in the Senorita. Back on May 7th is probably the logical contender, the next best horse to take a look at. And it is notable, it is Mr. Hernandez, Juan Hernandez, who will be on board Island of Love, as they say, the leading jockey out there by a notable margin. Ballet Dancing, lightly raced, but maybe some upside potential for that one. Also a horse that potentially you could take a look at as well. So that's the 7th race. And as I say, more stakes action at Santa Anita on this Sunday. But the big action, of course, is going to be tomorrow with 3 grade 1s on the card. And again, a reminder, $5 million potentially in that rainbow with the guaranteed, the mandatory payout tomorrow at Santa Anita. Tomorrow's card includes the Grade 1 Hollywood Gold Cup, $400,000 up for grabs. Short field, and again, the one to beat, Mike Smith will be on. But Mike Smith, just a crazy, incredible career. But Mike Smith will be on board Royal Ship, and we have a replay of his last win, the John Shear Mile. Royal Ship's going to be the number 4 horse here. And win it pretty easily, but more notably, do it with a triple-digit buyer. You look down the page, he's showing a few of those triple-digit buyers. And off of this effort, he seems certainly logical tomorrow in the Gold Cup. That noted, this was a mile race. The Gold Cup is 1.25 miles. However, this horse has run decently at the distance before. So again, coming in good form. The stretch out is going to be the question mark. If you're looking for an alternative, also coming out of a mile victory, was defunded, but he did it with a triple-digit buyer. So that puts him in a similar scenario, perhaps, to a Royal Ship. And Stiletto Boy, also coming off a triple-digit buyer win. It actually, it's going to be interesting to see, I suppose, where the betting public goes between Royal Ship and Stiletto Boy. Royal Ship on the morning line is 6-5. And again, I thought off the last win, probably gets the action. But Stiletto Boy won the Californian last time at 1.125 and did it with a triple digit and a 108. So betting public keying these days as they do on the buyers. Again, Royal Ship 6-5 on the morning line, Stiletto Boy 7-5. It'd be interesting to see. I wouldn't be shocked off of that 108 if the betting public maybe tilted a little more in favor of Stiletto Boy. But that's the Hollywood Gold Cup tomorrow. Also, amongst the Grade 1 action at Santa Anita, it will be the Grade 1 Shoemaker Mile. Oh, I should have mentioned, you know, speaking of Shoemaker, but I should have mentioned when I showed the replay for Royal Ship, it was the John Shear Mile. Nice to see they named a race after him. That was the guard in the paddock that stopped the loose hook, took the shot from the loose horse in the paddock a few years ago, protecting a little girl. And at the time, I think he was 80-something. So kind of the hero, John Shear. It was nice to see they named a race after him. But speaking of folks that deserve a race, the Shoemaker Mile on the card tomorrow, Grade 1 event for three-year-olds and up, going on the grass at, as the name would indicate, a mile. Smooth Lake Straight, 4-5 on the morning line. Count Again at 5-2 on the morning line. They're both coming out of the Maker's Mark Mile at Keeneland. Cheryl Spite is going to be the winner. Mason, the number four horse, runs second. Smooth Lake Straight runs third. Mason came back and won a stake in New York last week. So Mason flattered these a little bit. Again, Cheryl Spite is the winner. Mason second, but Smooth Lake Straight, the six, runs third. Count Again, the number seven, is a little bit disappointing, running sixth. But those two, Smooth Lake Straight and Count Again, in the Shoemaker Mile tomorrow. And as you can see, running third, pretty good third for Smooth Lake Straight. You would have to think he'll be the one. Again, he's 4-5 on the morning line. He'll be the one that'll take the action with the return to Southern California. And finally, on the Grade 1 side of things, tomorrow at Santa Anita, the Grade 1 Gamely. This one for the fillies and mares going a mile and an eighth on the grass. And I pulled up a replay for Going Global in here. Going Global is 8-5 on the morning line. Flavian Pratt is going to be in for the ride. And Going Global won the Royal Heroine last time, April 9th. The number one horse here in a short field. But coming off of that with a solid buyer that stacks up with this field, I don't know that this horse is an absolute standout. There are a couple other directions. There are probably three or four other directions that you could go and kind of have maybe equal confidence. But I do think this is the horse that will take the action, and that will be helped by Flavian Pratt on board. Also trained by Phil D'Amato, who, as I said, currently sitting atop the leaderboard amongst the trainers there by a pretty good margin as well. So there's your Grade 1 action tomorrow at Santa Anita. And again, $5 million anticipated in the Rainbow Pool with a mandatory payout. So should be a fun day. Santa Anita runs tomorrow. Belmont runs tomorrow. Monmouth runs tomorrow. I'll be back in tomorrow with OTB Live on the special Monday holiday edition. So if you're going to be kind of kicking back and plan to fire up the grill, and now that you've opened the pool, sit by the pool, have your TV pushed to the doorway of the sliding doors to the family room so you can look over from the grill or the pool and stay with us all afternoon to watch some nice action. If you'd like to come and enjoy some nice air conditioning, grab a little lunch, sit at the bar or whatnot, you can come here to the Clubhouse Racebook. We'd love to have you here as well. We'll have a couple of fun promotions tomorrow here at the Racebook. The match bet, that's going to happen tomorrow here at the Racebook, but also the Play the Board contest, which is always a lot of fun. You give your picks for a series of different kinds of wagers during the afternoon, and maybe you'll wind up with some free money to play with, courtesy of Capital OTB. That's all tomorrow here at the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. That happens tomorrow. There's a little extra fun tomorrow, but there's the normal fun here today. We'd love to have you here today, too. So if you don't want to swing down, grab a little lunch today and enjoy the races. We are always happy to have you stop and enjoy action here at the Clubhouse Racebook. And I keep reminding people, because I come here 5 days a week, so I know exactly where it is. But if you're not familiar, you hop off the Everett Road, you hop on I-90, hop on the off the Everett Road exit, go towards Central Avenue, and we are literally right around the corner from Everett Road. We're in the ShopRite Plaza, the Clubhouse Racebook. So very conveniently located, a minute, or depending on what which lights you hit, maybe a minute and a half off of I-90. Very convenient to get to us here on Central Avenue. All right, I'm going to wrap it up, put a bow on it for this Sunday edition of Racing Across America. I'm Seth Merrill. As always, thanks for joining us. Be back again about an hour and a half or so to kick off a Sunday edition of OTB Live. Lots of great action again today. With, again, it's a holiday weekend, so nice stakes action all around and all throughout the weekend, which will continue this afternoon as well. We'll take a look at that and all of the racing action. Hopefully tossing out some good opinions that allow us all to cash some tickets. That'll be the game plan. So thanks for tuning in this morning, as always, and we'll look for you in about an hour and a half or so for OTB Live for a Sunday afternoon. See you then.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.